Welcome to CSEE's podcast on building school climate through developmental discipline. This is David Strait, Executive Director of the Center for Spiritual and Ethical Education. The recording you are about to listen to tells a simple but compelling story of how a school can change with a concerted effort. This is a great ground root story that began with one teacher and then spread to another, and to a study group, and then to the whole faculty. It took a school with an acceptable program to a place 18 months later where the principal remarked, "This is not the same school." These same possibilities are available to all schools, rich or poor, urban or rural, private or public. Listen to the story. Share it with your teaching friends. And take our invitation to change your school climate too. The story is narrated by its author, Marie-Claire Wanacott. Marie-Claire is a first grade teacher at Lott Whitcomb School in Milwaukee, Oregon.
It is rare to have a book change the life of a school, but in many ways, Marilyn Watson's Learning to Trust began a process that did just that. My first indication of what we were in for was in Alfie Cohn's foreword, when he spoke about the differences between educators who ask, "How can we get these kids to obey?" and those who ask, "What do these kids need, and how can we meet those needs?" As a teacher, I see myself and my colleagues often take the easy road and slide into making kids follow directions. But I also know that when I focus on finding out how to meet the needs of my students, I find teaching and relating to my students is so much more enjoyable and beneficial to us all. Learning to Trust is a book about kids who don't trust adults in their lives. It shows how to build relationships with these kids so that you can not only teach them academics, but also begin the process of cultivating a moral and ethical person. My elementary school has many students who haven't had an easy life. Well over half of our students are from families in the poverty level. For almost 40% of them, English is their second language, and it is common to have families move in and out throughout the year. The meals kids get at school are often their main source of food. It is a school where we see many kids who have not had positive childhoods and don't have adults they can trust in their lives. We are constantly trying new ways to be more successful at teaching and relating to our students. Marilyn Watson's book gave us just that. Briefly, in Learning to Trust, Marilyn Watson, an educational psychologist, and Laura Ecken, a second and third grade classroom teacher, work together to demonstrate the power of trusting relationships to foster children's academic growth as well as their social and ethical development. What was so important to me about this book was that it was written about a real classroom in a school much like mine, a low socioeconomic school with struggling students. It is written about a teacher dealing with students who suffer because of their poor attachment to adults. I had never heard of attachment theory, but Learning to Trust includes an appendix description for those like myself who need an explanation. Attachment theory tells us that the attachments we have as a child influence the kinds of relationships we will have as adults. Children with secure attachments to their caregivers learn to value themselves and think of themselves as worth valuing as they grow older. Insecurely attached children will not value themselves and will tend to mistrust others. As I was reading about children with insecure attachments, I saw the similarities to my students clearly. Making this connection, I was then able to shift my thinking and look at a student as being defiant and difficult to seeing them as a student with low self-esteem, out to prove that their teacher is to be mistrusted. Seeing my students through this lens completely altered how I approached each bump in the road. I felt one sentence embodied the concept of this book. This sentence persuaded me to read and learn the strategies within it. It was when Laura Ecken said, "I saw that when children felt cared for, their competence grew, and they were able to reciprocate caring to those around them." Students thrive in environments where they feel like they have autonomy, where they belong, and where they feel competent. Autonomy, belongingness, and competence are the ABCs of what we need to aim for. Learning to trust gives us many personal glimpses into Laura Ekin's life as she deals with everyday teaching situations, children with sick parents, students not wanting to work as partners, children who make fun of one another or act as bullies. Each vignette offers the reader a way to approach problems, shows us how to communicate, how to build trust in difficult situations. This is a book to give educators hope and something to lean on. Watching Laura Ekin's classroom management style through the book brought me new hope. Not only was I going to teach students reading, writing, and math, but at the core, I could help change their attachments. Central to Marilyn Watson's book are three building blocks to reaching students with insecure attachments. The first is building trusting teacher-student relationships. The second focuses on student-student friendships. And the third is building community. The book itself inspired me to focus on changing how I was trying to reach my difficult students. Then I had the opportunity in 2006 to attend a CSEE workshop led by Marilyn Watson. In 2 days, I emerged even more passionate. I felt the strong desire to share all this with my fellow teachers for the better of our school. Before school began, I spoke with my principal about learning to trust, about the difference it had made in my classes since I began implementing its philosophy, and about how I thought it could help our school. He was supportive, and we spoke about how I could involve the staff. We decided on a book club for those interested. In addition, I would attend another workshop with an additional staff member, after which we would share what we had learned with the rest of the staff. Later, we planned on regular staff meeting time when the book club could share relevant ideas. I was eager to build a committed group of staff members who were as excited about this way of teaching and thinking as I was. After the second workshop led by Marilyn Watson, myself and my fellow teacher were both more than ready to introduce the book and its concepts we knew would change how our staff looked at and dealt with students. In our first book club meeting, we set norms, some being to keep an open mind, to express ideas without judgment, to avoid side conversations, to agree to disagree, and to find ideas we could transfer to our whole school. We met every 3 weeks and discussed one chapter at a time. There were so many wanting to participate, we had to split the club into two groups. One of the best parts of our book club meetings was the chance to collaborate about our students and how to get their trust. Our discussions ranged from connections to the text, to students with insecure attachments, to frustrations trying to build relationships with increasing numbers in our classes and a tight curriculum schedule. We spoke of how we could make our school a place where students could come each day and feel like they are competent and valued, and where there are adults they could trust. As we met, we discussed why it was important to build trusting teacher-student relationships, to build student-student friendships, and build community. Because of specific discussions and book club, teachers focused more and more on modeling friendship, compassion, and respect toward others. A big theme was helping students learn how to make amends. At each meeting, we circled back to remembering to view kids through the lens of attachment theory. We all benefited from each other's ideas on how they build trust, how to build friendships, and establish community. Having a chance to share ideas was beneficial to us all. The strictness of our school time and curriculum schedules frustrated teachers because we felt we weren't able to stop and work with a teachable moment. We knew that to make the kinds of changes we wanted to make to succeed, we were going to need some flexibility in our schedule. In December, a few book club members asked our school administration for an adjustment that would allow for more community building time within the classroom. Once again, we got full support. This resulted in Fridays being an ideal day to work on community building. From this point, teachers worked increasingly to take advantage of teachable moments. Reading Marilyn Watson and learning of her work was so powerful for us. It helped us see that key elements were missing from some student life experiences very early in their existence. It was through this lens that they interpret their world. By understanding how to build back the missing elements, it gave us all a chance to depersonalize the conflicts. Yes, we said we wouldn't take it personally, but in the hectic pace of education, it is hard not to personalize. It's also sometimes hard to provide time to build and maintain relationships, to really stop everything in order to build the connection with students and focus on problems that arise. One of our school goals is that every misbehavior be viewed as an opportunity for individual problem solving and preparation for the real world. Understanding the philosophy behind learning to trust put meaning into this goal for us all. Members of the book club both needed and wanted to share with the rest of our staff some of the knowledge and hope we were experiencing. As planned, once a month, we presented the key learning points from the book during staff meetings and in-service days. This was amazingly well received. In fact, one of the things our colleagues mentioned throughout the year was how much they enjoyed a variety of people imparting the information. They enjoyed having many different points of view on what we were learning. Teaching about what we were learning was great, but as the year progressed, we wanted to take it even further. We felt so strongly about the effects of good moral education, and we were seeing the benefits in our classrooms. We wanted to embrace these qualities as a whole school. To support this, over the summer, our administration required all staff members to read CSEE's booklet titled Discipline for Moral Growth, also authored by Marilyn Watson. This book contained the same basic ideas as Learning to Trust, but in a shorter 50-page book. Some book club members formed groups to work throughout the summer, planning an in-service day for the beginning of the year when we could review and reinforce how these concepts would work in our school. The book was very well received by the staff as a whole. When we returned in the fall, teachers spent a half day building our staff community through a cooperative art experience, which is still on display at our school. The other half of the day was spent reviewing and discussing the principles from the book together, so we were all privy to our school's new way of managing. The success felt imminent on this training day. Most staff were excited, felt bonded, and were thrilled to all be on the same page. We felt like we were on the road to something that could not fail. More importantly, we took time to use our new knowledge to plan in teams. Specialists thought about specific ways they worked with students and planned concrete ways to ensure they could build relationships, friendships, and community. Teachers worked in grade level teams to incorporate time and ideas into their lesson plans. This time was vital to the change we were hoping to achieve. So often as professionals, we go to trainings or read a book with good ideas, but don't take the time to integrate it into our everyday classroom. Though much of what Laura Ecken did with her class came by way of teachable moments, we felt it was important to also be more purposeful to integrating these ideas into our classes and our school, so we were concretely aware of what we were trying to teach and achieve. Another topic we had discussed throughout the year with the book club was the behavior problems we were having in our more unstructured common areas, like recess, the hallways, and the cafeteria. Before summer began, we established two groups of staff members to work on how we should revise our current expectations and how we could teach those expectations so we had a less, how can we get these kids to obey, mindset toward behavior management. Willing staff worked through the summer on coming up with core behavior expectations for recess, cafeteria, our buses, hallways, and in small reading groups. These teachers discussed what was not working behavior-wise in these areas. They decided on appropriate expectations for each area and talked about how to train both students and staff so unstructured areas of the school were places where students could feel autonomy, belonging, and competence. Also important in these discussions was talk about how assistants, who didn't have the benefit of being with students all day in a classroom, could also build trusting relationships, encourage student friendships, and have a community all their own. This group of staff members then trained the remaining staff during our in-service week before students began school in September. We decided on a common quiet signal to be used throughout the school, a simple hand raised. We stressed the need to communicate through positive language. Without it, we are merely reinforcing that adults are not to be trusted for kids with insecure attachments. We discussed the need for common, consistent expectations. If we are not all on the same page, students are not going to have the chance to be successful and feel competent. One day in the first week of school, we had an all-school recess when students toured recess areas in groups and were taught games and appropriate behavior from different teachers. This was a favorite among all staff and students and served the purpose of teaching recess in a fun way, as well as a great community-building day school-wide. The last piece of our puzzle was to do as teachers what we hope to do with our students, build a trusting community. For this to happen, we needed everyone to feel like part of creating our community. In many respects, some of our staff had to learn to trust the rest of the adults working here. Some did, and have continued to work on those relationships. Others could not bring themselves to give time towards community building, towards building the trust with their colleagues, and left. It's possible that these individuals could have been successful if they had given it time. But in the long run, until they can trust, it was not in the best interest of children to have them work directly with students. One way we began to build community was by asking each staff member to list ideas for community building and school improvement committees they would like to be a part of throughout the coming years. We then compiled this list. Some ideas were a monthly assembly committee, a green committee, community service day committee, parent night committee, and a social committee. Everyone on staff was asked to sign up for at least one committee. Those with the greatest numbers were formed, and we continue to work on them today. In September of that same year, we had the honor of bringing Marilyn Watson to our school for an all-day teacher workshop on discipline for moral growth. All staff attended this training, from administrative assistants to teachers, from custodians to the principal and vice principal. This day reviewed and reinforced the book we had read. Seeing Laura Ecken with her students through videos and hearing personal stories from Marilyn Watson helped us understand these concepts in action. The fact that this presenter was not just lecturing us about a new way of managing our school, but has lived it with a population similar to our own, was highly motivating for the staff as a whole. Dr. Watson leads her conferences in the same way she encourages us to teach. She built community throughout the presentation by mixing people up, having partners interview each other, and leading some of the community building activities she wrote about in her book. It was a day many have not forgotten and most want to relive. It built upon all the book club had done and shared the past year. And the fact that it took place a couple weeks into school, when the teaching honeymoon is ending, was perfect. We remembered we were not just here to teach our students to read, write, and compute. We wanted to teach insecurely attached students to trust, to make and be a friend, and to feel part of a community. We wanted them to feel autonomy, belonging, and competence. Marilyn Watson showed us how to do this and reinforced why it was so important. Our school was on a new road, and we were proud of it. The success of all this collective work was evident. Even as soon as the first month of school, things felt different. Teachers spoke about students in a manner that reflected their knowledge of the importance of attachment. The office was seeing fewer students for discipline issues. Virtually all the adults at school seemed to be taking management into their own hands, and in turn, they were building trusting relationships with students. Students were observed treating each other with more respect than in the past. Each day, we heard comments about the feeling of community, and our principal made the observation several weeks into the school year that this is not the same school. The bond we built continues to last, even as I write the script for this podcast 2 school years later. We still have work to do, and things get busy in education, and good practices sometimes slide. The following year, we began to work on plans for other aspects of character education. We have surveyed students and staff and seen that we still need to work on building trusting student-teacher relationships and teaching children how to be friends. Bullying remains an issue and continues to need to be addressed. We are far from perfect, but with the building blocks we have begun with and the success we have experienced, we have a foundation no one is going to let go of.